Hey, Mike Berlew's here for the advertisements.
I'm so honored. I'm going to get this right this time.
No, you're not. The other day I tried to do these ads. Alex was watching me. I did probably 22 in a row, just kept messing up. I'd be like, hey, blah, blah, and we'd be like, blah, 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 blah. But so I'm going to try to knock these out in one shot today. One shot. We'll see how I do, but hold my hand through it. All right?
Okay. Bring it here.
No, I won't. Wolf Nation, Wolf Nation, wake up, live free. I'm the longest sponsor on this podcast. They've been with us for a while now.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for them.
Wolf Nation is an apparel company, clothing company, kind of like an upscale but also laid-back kind of company. Stands up for wake up, live free. Basically, you know, making your own way in this life. Not living paycheck to paycheck, living under the man, you know. But it's going to be apparel for men and women and children and grandmothers and dogs and all that kind of stuff. Wake up, live free, Wolf Nation.
That's awesome, man. And it's the fall season right now. We're going into winter. You know, check it out, man. Ooh. It's a gift for the holidays.
Yeah, get some Wolf Nation long sleeves, some Wolf Nation sweatshirts. So check them out on Instagram and Twitter and all that fun stuff. But again, that's WULF Nation. Check them out. The boys at Demented Brewing. Demented Brewing. Demented Brewing is located in Middlesex, New Jersey. You may have just seen their beer on Shark Tank. And we might have those guys coming on. They got, but Physics.
Mark Cuban?
Yeah. Cuban's next. But you you might ruin that interview, too.
Cuban! Overhaul!
Yeah. So, DementedBrewing.com. Okay, check them out because they are an awesome brewery located in Middlesex, New Jersey, right off 287 in this awesome building. With they got a tap room that has 16 taps. They have tons of different beers. They're always making something different. They have a barrel program, a sour program, all these things you can join. And they are they're always doing great things. They just released their Oktoberfest lager this past Sunday. Every Sunday they got something new. And then they're going to be releasing their new Belgian IPA this coming Sunday.
Oh, nice.
So they got all sorts of different things going on. So check out Demented Brewing. Give them a like. Send them a message. Show them some love. That is Demented Brewing. Manskirt Brewing. Manskirts. I say it manly because it is manly, even though, you know, it's associated with a dress that men wear. But Joe Fisher, go check him out in his kilt, in his location in Hackettstown, New Jersey. You were just there yesterday, bro.
Oh, yeah. It was a great event. It was their one-year anniversary. Had some of the new Oktoberfest that came out. Absolutely wonderful. This coming Saturday, October 8th, Hackettstown Oktoberfest. They're inviting people out. Come out to see all the festivities.
See them all. Don't partake in them, but just look at them.
Oh, they got different stuff. They got a wiener dog race. Yep. They have various other activities. Always a fun time. Bunch of local shops will be out there trying to bring you in. So come out and see Manskirt, man. It'll be worth the trip.
Yeah, Manskirt Brewing, seasonally inspired ales. So they got that on the 8th. Tuesday, on the 11th, they'll be part of a tap takeover at Legends Ale House in Sukasana. Their Oktoberfest lager is on tap, and that is their current seasonal. So please go check them out at Manskirt Brewing. Follow them Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all that fun stuff. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Each week I host trivia on Wednesdays, but there is trivia basically every single day of the week almost in New Jersey. There's like 20 different locations. Basically, it's a trivia. You come on out, and you can win prizes to breweries, prizes to the restaurant, even if you are in last place. Each week there's a bonus item that gets you points. New Jersey craft beer members get points. So it's a real good time. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter, all that fun stuff. Today on the podcast, we got Mark Riccadonna, hilarious comedian and just a good guy, and we talk about clowns and shit. So enjoy the podcast.
Do it.
Hey, this is Riley Breckenridge from Thrice, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, our shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Why is your sound check droopy dog?
Why not? Why isn't yours?
Well, anyway, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Just getting over, like, being sick for, like, not, like, a month consecutive, but, like, probably 2 out of the 4 weeks of the month. Like, mm-hmm. It just wouldn't go away. So I feel like I'm getting my voice back a little bit, but, Mike Berlo, welcome back.
Hey, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has been 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, it's depressing going from, like, an interview with, like, you know, one of your favorite drummers, and then it's just, you're back to just me and you. It's like, it's like, you know, like, when you reach the plateau of your career early, and then it's all just tumbling down.
Tonight we have a person who has a spoon collection. She only has 4 of them, but she's getting there.
She calls it a good start.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we're back. It's been 2 weeks. A lot's gone on in 2 weeks in the world, anyway.
And that's it.
That's it. That's it. Good news is the Mets playoffs start tomorrow. And
the bad news is how long after that?
Well, we'll see. Hey, all you got to do is get in, buddy. Never know. You never know. The Cubs, of course, look like the unstoppable machine right now, but we've seen this before. We've seen the Seattle Mariners of old, who had like 110 wins.
And how many New York fans are going to bring goats to Wrigley Field?
Hopefully a lot. I hope. Or Bartman. sit with Bartman. Dress like Bartman. But we got to get past the Giants first. So that's not going to be any easy task. Baumgartner is going tomorrow. But I'm very proud of my Mets. Maybe even more so than last year, because this team is absolutely decimated. There's like nobody left on that team. But
that was a team left for dead, and you were trailing. It wasn't like you had a big lead and you kind of coasted in. It was you were trailing, and with whatever you had, you're like, we'll make it work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you Belichicked it.
If you look at the opening day starting lineup and tomorrow's starting lineup, it's almost a completely different team. So, hats off to the amazings, and I'm hopefully, as you're listening to this, they're winning, because this will probably be up during that. The Mets are in the playoffs. I'm happy about that. Giants are falling apart.
With my Redskins.
Yep. I did not like that game going in. I even said to the guy I went with, I'm like, I don't like this game. Like, it seems like a trap game. Giants have been yapping all week.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins are trying to save their season.
Yeah, and they gave one away to Dallas, and
and if they lucked out, 3 is pretty much impossible to get out of. So
yeah, and they almost gave it away to Cleveland. Thank you, female referee, for calling the phantom fumble.
Ah, the female referee.
I was waiting for that. Like, I was reading the article, and I forget her name. It was like Leslie something. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the Browns fans to react.
Leave it to a female to.
I'm telling you, I saw a fumble recovery.
Get upset about something that didn't happen.
Listen, there's no evidence. There's nothing showing. So you don't believe me? Is that what you're saying?
I did not say that. Yes, you did. You made a face when you said it.
You do this every week with me. I say I see something and you don't listen.
You made a face. You made a weird face in your eyebrow.
What was this holding stuff you kept talking about last week, huh? You're holding on to another woman as a ref?
Exactly. But yeah, Redskins are back. Eagles won't lose. Vikings won't lose. A lot of surprises going on here.
On the side note for the Giants, what's up with OBJ crying so much as of late?
He's got a problem, man. He's gonna be known. He probably already is known as like. If you play him physical and you get up in his grill, he's gonna shut down.
Say a couple words to him.
Yeah, get in his head. So he's gotta straighten that out quick. You know, you're a 3rd-year player. You're not a rookie. Like, you gotta expect you're the best player on the team. You gotta expect people pushing, shoving, hitting you, trying to get on your skin. Now they're gonna do it on purpose.
Oh,
because
exactly.
They show when you do get under his skin, he can't play. Or he catches something and does it some idiot celebration or something like that.
Yeah, and then he gets stupid penalties and. He almost knocked himself unconscious with the kicking net. Damn, I wish I saw that live. I didn't notice that.
It's so funny, like, how wide receivers are just always the biggest prima donnas in the NFL. I don't know what it is, but it's
receivers
just
and corners. Like, you never hear about defensive tackle and offensive linemen, like, going at it. Oh, he danced like this after he blocked me. You know,
I don't know. But, yeah, Giants are falling apart. NFL is well on their way. A lot of surprises. The Rams would be a surprise.
I think it's a temp surprise.
Vikings would definitely be, like, with all that's gone on with them, they're still 4-0, and they look good, too.
Defense looks nasty, man. It could be one of those Trent Dilfer Super Bowl kind of deals that Bradford just manages it, right?
Eagles look good. The Broncos, no quarterback, just dominating teams, crushing teams on defense. So, NFL is back, and... it's good. It's good. The Giants are, for some reason, injured all over the place, as usual. I don't know what it is with that team, man.
Washington's the same way. I mean, in that game, we beat you. We lost two offensive linemen, cornerback, and our safety.
Yep.
And still pulled it off.
We lost a bunch of guys, too. Yeah, that game, it was fun to go to. We had a good time tailgating and whatnot. Mm. You had a good time driving into the parking lot.
No, I was with a buddy, but basically they led us into an area, and they're like, yeah, there's spots. It's like, where?
Yeah.
And, like, every spot has some person's cornhole or
grill.
Dude, can you move your tent 2 inches? We're partying, man. Is it? It's 11:35. The game is starting in a little bit.
Yep.
I'm a party, man. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, you pretty much got to get there 11 or before. Because my uncle was meeting us there, and he got there around 11, and we were trying to hold spots, and they were just filling up every time we tried to hold anything.
On a side note, I was kind of talking with my buddy. My buddies were Giants fans, who I went with. That stadium is boring as mofo.
That stadium stinks.
You look at all the new stadiums that came in around the same time.
Yep.
Like, even I remember Washington saying, which is like 20 years old, like, you walk around, you're like, ooh, look at this. You got the banners and all that.
There's nothing.
Everything is gray.
Nothing.
There's barely anything hung up. I mean, I know you share the stadium with the Jets.
Awful.
But it should be like one side New York, one side Jets, or one wall, and vice versa.
I always say there's four entrances there. There should be two entrances that are all like museums and statues of the Giants, and two that are the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
No one would care. Instead, they build a stadium where, ooh, we could flip a switch and it turns green. Ooh, we flip a switch. We turn our souvenirs around and they're Jets souvenirs. It's like so bad.
And you could still do like LCD stuff where you can look up and say, oh, that's old school Lawrence Taylor up there, Ben Carson's, Y.A. Tittle, blah, 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 blah.
You said Tittle. But, I hate the stadium. It's boring. I liked Giant Stadium. I don't know. It had a feel to it. It had a little, I don't know, had something about
it. All the old school ones, man. I mean, teams actually felt fear going into stadiums. Now it's a luxury. I mean, you look at the Dallas Stadium. Half the stadium is always the visiting teams.
Yeah.
You can always see the visiting teams are always comfortable as hell. They never have any fear, oh, there's going to be a ruckus crowd. It's like they're staying at a hotel.
Yeah. Speaking of football, right. I had a dream the other day. I wanted to tell you about it on the last cast.
Oh, do tell.
So I had this really vivid dream that me and you, we were at some NFL event. We were going to do a podcast at some like NFL fanfare kind of thing. Like,
okay.
So we have all our equipment and we start talking to someone and I'm like schmoozing this guy, like this NFL rep, all day long. And he's like, hey, you know, would you guys like to interview Peyton Manning? Okay. I was like, yeah, we would like to interview Peyton Manning. And like, he's like, okay. And it was definitely in the dream. I was like echoing back to when we did the Trevor Bain interview, and we had to run to the car and get so we're like running through the place, getting all our equipment and stuff like that. And I sit down, like we're sitting down on a table, we set it up. Peyton Manning walks in, so we're right about to start, and he's hooked up. He's across from me, and you come walking in, and you're like, hey Peyton, Omaha, right? And you knock the microphones over and you like knock all our equipment off the table.
Okay.
And we lose like the entire interview with Peyton Manning because you're in there like trying to like throw a ball, do Omaha, and you knock everything over. And I woke up so mad at you because it felt so real. And I was like, I'm going to fucking kill this guy.
On a side note, that's why we had no episode last week, everybody. Wow, that's very detailed.
It was so funny.
You're kind of like Isabel. She always, every time she has a dream, it's like, and this was the leaf color, and then there was a a wind coming in from southwest at 3.5 miles per hour. And I'm looking, I was like, I wake up and it's like,
yeah,
it's morning.
I've been having some vivid dreams lately. I had another one where I guess I was having a nightmare because Alex was like, oh my God, you're breathing so heavy. I was like having this nightmare where I was just like, we were running through these cornfields and there's all these like aliens and zombies and we're like ducking in under rocks and things like that. But yeah. So thanks a lot for blowing the Peyton Manning interview.
To be fair, he's retired, so who would listen to that? I mean, no real football fans would listen to that.
No.
Now, if we got Jamarcus Russell for 10 points, now we're talking.
I mean, yeah, more people listen to the Rinster episode than Peyton Manning.
I mean, I never remember my dreams. I somewhat remember I had a dream, and I forget. I was getting, like, investigated for something, and they were, like, showing up
that
pictures.
That wasn't a dream, buddy. Yeah.
But they were showing, like, pictures of, we know you're here, and like one of them is me like hugging Izzy, and they're like I don't know why, but it's like you, me, and I forget who the third person was, and we're doing the Usain Bolt. Little
like celebration,
pose, know, like that, and I don't even know why it was in the picture, but it's like, well, you're talking about dreams, I might as well bring that up.
I could just picture you like I'm about to sit down with Peyton Manning. You're bringing the soundboard over. You get a leg cramp and drop it, smash the board at him.
So Peyton, Papa John's really sucked, doesn't it?
What do we do now? But yeah,
I got my phone. Can you talk into that?
It was pretty vivid. I woke up furious at you. Just to let you know. What else? What else? We did the election, the debate. I couldn't watch it. I did about 35 minutes, and I like just kind of walked and had it on in the background after a while. It was such just BS slinging. It's exactly what I thought it would be. They tried to stay calm for the first like half hour. Mm-hmm. Trump was trying to stay calm. Then you could see him start getting jabbed. You know, he starts. The name calling starts, and it's just, I'm just so not in. I'm so ready for whoever to win and just the next president for 4 years from now, because it's just, it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at either of them. It's like a mockery. I don't know. Did you watch them?
I watched it. Yeah. It was on. I kind of watched the whole thing. It's neither of them saying, this is my plan to make the place better. It's just, this is why she's stupid. This is why he's stupid.
You did this. He did this. You did this. It's just, Hillary is just such a robot. You know, everything is scripted and that pure politician answer. And Trump is just a buffoon. And just the two of them are just so unappetizing to me. It's just, I'm so sick of the election. I'm so sick of going on Facebook and just seeing everyone's fucking... We get
everybody
it.
Posts a news article from some site that you never heard of in your life, but it's a reputable source, and you got to believe it. And Hillary's bringing in 20,000 Syrians, and Trump raped Miss USA teen.
That's like I put something up the other day. I'm like, according to liberal Yankovic, Obama kills kittens or something like that. Because it's no one checks their sources. It's a free for all out there, and it's.
Well, one of my favorites was when all the Republican people were saying, oh, we have a photo showing that Hillary had an earpiece in there, and there's proof. And I remember it was Carlos Vera who put up a picture. He's like, this is a picture from the debate. Notice how there's two different necklaces going on there.
Yeah. It's just, it's absurd. I'm so sick of everyone's opinion.
I was very upset Cecil Ince did not show up for the debate.
I know.
I called up CNN. I'm like, is he on CNN too? Or where do I get this?
Here's the thing. It's just like, I hope that, I think deep down, maybe I probably hope Clinton wins, I think. But I'm not going to vote for either of them. It's just, I don't first off, if this is not evidence that the two-party system is so flawed and broken and that this is such a old, beat up, worn out, debates are just worn out, they're just dumb. Like, I think Joe Rogan said it best. Like, he said, in this day and age, you know, if you were like Bernie Sanders, for instance, a guy who had a ton of heat, and you only got to see him in like a couple debates, right? Like, what is it? Like three Democratic debates or something like that?
Yeah.
Why not go start the Bernie Sanders podcast, okay? Every week, go on for 3 hours and talk however you want. You are talking directly to people. There's no time limit. Debate is this old form of, this is what happened when there was no TV and internet and there was mm-hmm. time period where people had to tune into those couple minutes because they had no access to you. Go on the internet now. I'm Bernie Sanders, right? I just turn on FaceTime and go to all my Facebook followers. There's 3 billion people watching you right now. Like, just talk. Just, hey, this
is this
my
on?
Brother. Yeah, I know him.
What is this? Some kind of eraser? What the hell's going on
what
here?
What is this thing? But you know what I mean? Like, the debate...
Then he says, like, a bunch of racist stuff not knowing it's on.
The debate is... Yeah. The debate is just this... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Old, out of date.
Yeah.
It's Windows not 95. Modern. It's not. Yeah. It's not modern. Everything else changes, but yet we have this system that is just so antiquated. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, you got. I mean, that's kind of how Trump beat everybody. Everybody. I mean, there's one thing you got to give him credit for. He doesn't put out ads or anything like that. He knows Fox News wants him on the air. He knows ABC wants him on the air. He knows CBS goes on. He waits for them to interview him. And then, oh, wait, they're like, Trump's coming up on 60 Minutes, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And he just sends his message out there, and he doesn't pay a dime. And and it's basically how he got up to that next level and how he's a step away from being president.
Yep. You know what? Like, I love that, like, I think, I don't know how it's going to go. I would imagine Hillary's going to win pretty wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. But... I love how everything's always like a week before the election. All the news are like, it's neck and neck, getting close towards the election. No wonder it's neck and neck going into the debate. I wonder why. Because you want the most viewers possible. Donald Trump has probably made his news companies billions over the last, what is it, year and a half? You know, just the coverage and the stories on him every day. It's like, I'm just so sick of it.
Here's my prediction: what's going to happen? Hillary will beat.
Yeah. You heard it here.
Yeah, Hillary will beat Trump. It will.
Yep.
Will be kind of a close race. Even if Trump wins, I basically see whoever the opposite party is, they're going to basically do a lot what the Republicans did with Obama, which is pretty much, I ain't voting for that, and anything you get, you're going to have to pull my teeth out to get. Then 4 years from now, the other party's going to win when they come up for re-election because either of them is either going to look crooked, stupid, or both.
Yeah, another thing I can't stand with like the Facebook and whatever people's opinion. It's more of I'm out to get the to prove how Republican I want to hurt the Republicans and the Republicans want to hurt the Democrats and you liberal idiots, you conservative wackos. It's not like okay, my guy lost, but we're gonna. Now we're going to work together either way, you know. Now it's my team versus your team, you know. It's one way or the other. And I think that's just like, I don't know, like maybe it's because I was like young and naive and like in grade school or high school. There was still, okay, perfect example. George W. Bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a beloved man by many, okay? Beloved by one side. 9/11 happened. There was this big like, coming together, especially around here in Jersey and New York, and this coming together and this feeling, and everyone seemed to support the president. And, like, you know, months later, it was all over. You know, everything just kind of went away. But I feel like before that, even like maybe it's probably just the internet era. But before that, it was still like this kind of like, hey, he's our president. There was some kind of respect there. There wasn't forums online calling your president the N-word over and over again. You know, it's like maybe it just wasn't there. Maybe it was in everyone's households and in their backyards. But I don't know, man. It's just like there's no. It's like if my guy, it's like sore loser mentality. Like if my guy loses, I'm not. That's it. I'm not gonna give anyone credit. I'm not gonna do anything until my side wins. And I don't know. I hate that mentality. But
yeah, I mean, there's no working together. And like I said, whoever wins, there's gonna be huge spite. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if they're spying on the Republican side if Trump wins. Because like, if they start looking stupid, I can totally see Trump going, if they go, well, you're not going to be our nominee in the re-election. He's like, I'll go independent.
Yeah.
That could as funny as it sounds, force the third-party system.
Yeah. Screw three. Four or five. Let's go. Yeah. What's
wrong with having five candidates up there and just saying this is what I think?
Give the country some options, you know? Like,
yeah. And, like Zoltan Istvan.
And it's so... The election process is so drawn out. I mean, it's like 2 years of just blah, 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 blah. Like, I feel like it's just all it is. It's just this drag out of ratings and the primaries and this and that. And it just takes forever. And it's like, I don't care at this point. I don't care. Honestly, the way our system's set up, we've had crappy presidents before. I don't think anything's going to happen either way if either one of them gets in. Because the president really doesn't do too much on his own. Everything's got to be voted on for the most part. Will Trump do some stupid things? Probably. Will Hillary hide a bunch of things and probably be brought up on things? Probably. But honestly, I don't think the country's going to be affected that much either way. It's going to be what happens in the House and the Senate and who gets put in there. Do the Democrats take over the House and Senate, or the Republicans do? That's when it's really going to matter. But whatever idiot gets in, I really don't see these massive changes in our everyday lives. And
no.
You know, a little segue here. We do have a guest on tonight. So in a week, we have the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show at Tap House 15, free show. And headliner is Mark Riccadonna. Now, Mark Riccadonna is one of my favorite local comics. He's not even local. He's all over the place. Great headliner, great storyteller. But best of all, he's just a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on. He was actually on Red Eye recently, the show on Fox, and the it's on late, and it's like a political debate kind of thing. And so he might be someone good to talk to. And plus, we're gonna have him on and talk a little bit, and we'll get back to it. But. I mean, do you think there's going to be massive changes, like whoever gets in?
No, again, it's going to be spite regardless. I mean, Lord knows the Democrats are not going to work with Donald Trump. Lord knows the Republicans won't work with Hillary Clinton. And kind of back to your point about nowadays versus the old days, one of the biggest reasons why they fight so much is they want to grandstand. They want to be on, you know, the Stephen Colbert show. Yeah. They want to... Trevor Noah, who took over for Jonathan Stewart. They want to be on all those shows and look at me and blah, blah, blah. And then it's re-election. Hey, look, I hate Obama too, and look what I did. He tried to do this Obamacare, and I did this. And, Trump wanted to put up a wall. I did this, and I did that. And it's all handstanding. And all. I mean, I'm kind of curious if... the vice president debate will be more, you know, civil tonight.
Oh, that's tonight?
Yeah.
No. All right, well, let's call Mark, and we can always
bring
him in on this conversation here. But this is Mark Riccadonna. He wrote for Weekend Update. He's done a bunch of things. He's always doing something, so I'm curious to see what he's up to now. I know he's been up to a lot. But
hello?
Oh, Mark Riccadonna, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans.
What's happening?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to be away from the kids for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He kind of gave the, oh, God, I forgot I agreed to this tonight, hello.
Yeah. He gave, like, the, I better swallow that cup of Jameson, hello.
I'm just sitting in my car drinking.
Sadly, Mark, you probably are. But, Mark, welcome to the show. We were just talking about the lovely debate, you know, the debate and this great situation our country's in right now. And I said it was a little appropriate segue because you just were on Red Eye the other day, weren't you?
Yeah, I just did Red Eye. It was interesting because I tend to be pretty liberal this election. I've been back and forth on both sides.
Right.
It's you know, I find my belief is no matter who wins, I want them to do good. It's the same way I felt when Bush was in. I didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
But when he was the president, he's our president. I want him to succeed.
I literally just said that to Mike. I said somewhere once the internet fully kicked in to where everyone can comment on everything, I feel like that's where it's changed. Where it's either my team wins. And if they lose, I'm just going to hate the other team no matter what, even if they're doing good, even if they're, you know, somewhere along the line, the nation's mentality changed. And I felt like even when we were younger, like at least there was some kind of support for the president, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, it's now more than ever. And I think it is because of the internet. I think you're right. And I think politicians are being exposed for what they're really doing. And it doesn't really matter about if it's the right decision to help people. It's all about, is there a D or an R next to their name, and is what they're saying support who's paying me? You know, what lobbyists are paying me? So it's no longer really, like, we're electing people not to really represent us. We're paying people. We're electing people that are being paid to make the decisions above us. That have nothing to do with us. No. They're not making any decisions off of what we think. You know, and this election isn't really about, I feel like it's not really about the necessarily Trump and Hillary. I think it's really about whoever goes in is going to put three justices in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so, are we going to have, you know, three conservative justices? Are we going to have, you know, three, you know, liberal? You know, because it's a life term, the Supreme Court justice, I think it's a scary election. And I think that's another reason people are getting all up in arms. But tonight's debate's going to be a lot of fun because tonight's really good versus evil. I mean, just looking at them, Tim Kaine looks like the kind of guy who's like, you know, coaches a little league team, and he's like all American dad who makes sure his kid's homework's done. And Pence looks like, you know, the bad guy from Mad Men. Tonight is going to be like a cartoon election. Like if you wrote a movie about an election and you had a good guy and bad guy, these guys would have been cast.
So, I mean, yeah. As a touring comedian, you probably hear this question a bunch of times. I mean, is this just, do you just love the fact it's almost free material now with all these people going up there with Hillary and Trump?
My act, I try not to ever talk in my act about politics because I feel like it splits the room in half. And, you know, we're being paid as entertainers to make people entertained, where I feel like on social media and like when I do John Fugelsang show or Red Eye or any of these kind of like political driven shows, I can have a little bit of fun and kind of say some things that I feel, but I also like to make, I write on Weekend Update. Like, I like to have fun on both sides because no side is perfect.
Oh, that's not true. I don't know what is.
Everybody knows the Green Party's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, the Green perfect Green Party.
And that's why nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
And also in reality of, like, no matter who you like, if we don't agree on who we like, I feel like it used to be you were okay with it because you understood people that were more conservative had different values than somebody who was more progressive. So it was like there wasn't this like hatred. It was just, oh, okay, you see things in a more conservative, family-oriented way, so that's why you vote Republican.
Yeah.
But now it's not like that anymore. I mean, Trump's on his third wife. He's cheated on each of them. On page six is where the wives found out that he was seeing someone else.
Right.
Like, he's not a family values guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, they're throwing around the Hillary Clinton that she's, how horrible she is because her husband cheated on her and they stuck together. That's, to me, more family valued. It, you know, the vows of marriage meant more. You know, through thick and thin, through sickness and health and all the, you know, the things that matter when you take your wedding vows.
Right.
That that to me seems more family values. She stuck it out even though, you know, something horrible happened in her family.
Yeah.
She stuck it out. I think that's more family valued than cut and run and go to the next woman.
Yeah, it could be. Depends how you see. I think it just comes down to, I've said it a million times. I've said it on the show a million times. If you take your most, I don't know, most of your conservative friends and most of your liberal friends, right? And you talk about what you guys actually believe in. Most of you share the same things, right? It's that basic safety for your family. It's that you want to work. You want to be able to make money. You want to feel safe. You want to feel protected. You know, you want health care. Everyone kind of agrees on that, but it's all these ridiculous things that are what swing the elections and swing people so far, right? And it's like you know, years ago it was, well, it's, yeah, you haven't really heard of much of this election, but it used to be abortion, gay marriage, things like that don't affect most people's lives, and they don't. If my co-host here is having abortions and things in his household, it does not affect my personal life. And those are the hot topics that would swing people one way or the other. But if you talk to the guys that, you know, even one's right wing, one's left, you pretty much agree so close, you know. And like a two system party, so antiquated and old, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, and back to the point of, like, the party, there's no line anymore, because Hillary Clinton's representing the, you know, the liberal Democrat society. She's more of a war hawk than anyone. You know, I think she's ready to go in and attack, and, you know, and I think Trump, you know, he's been, you know, shitting all over the troops, calling McCain, you know, a coward for getting caught. And then what did he just say? That guys with post-traumatic
syndrome, they got to be stronger.
Yep, they're not strong enough for a war. Yep.
They're not strong. And he lied about how much money he gave to veterans. Like, they switched sides. they've gone so far left they're right, and so far right they're left. There's no lines anymore. It's just getting people to back you and who can raise the most money.
You would almost think, you know, this election should almost unite the country more than anything, where, like, oh my god, we need to, like, wake up and be involved in, like,
come together.
Everything
now from, it's just a GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah. Like, we should unite. We should be
Michael Burlew for president. I'll do things like abortions, as Scott brought up. I do.
You'll
earlier.
Do them.
Yeah. Why all not? Right. I'm that kind of president.
But, you know, like, unite us. Like, in this fact, we should be like, okay, now maybe we need to be involved in local government all the way up, because this is the result of nobody giving a crap for, you know, forever, it seems like. You know, everyone only giving a crap every 4 years.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know where it goes back to. I mean, my friends that are super liberal will say it was Reagan, but I don't know the facts on this. But it goes back somewhere to getting backed by people with agendas. When you get backed by somebody with an agenda, like a religious organization or big business, you do whatever they tell you, and then it's about backing up your lie to make it sound like it's part of your party. And now I don't think they even do that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's just jumping over one person to get to the next. That's all it is, to the next level. Whatever I got to do to get there.
Meanwhile, nobody gives a crap about House or Senate elections.
Yeah, yep, exactly. What actually controls
Not
everything.
Not sexy. Not sexy.
But, Mark, let's switch gears here. Let's not talk about the election that much.
We did four-wheel drive. Let's get
let's put cruise control on a little
bit. Let's talk about your local mayor.
But, Mark, you're speaking of family man. I guess that's a good segue. You are you're a comic. You do a lot of different writing, appearing on different things. But you are also a dad of two young boys, correct?
Yeah. Wow. Oh man, it's tough. I mean, it's. I was just telling my mother-in-law, if it wasn't for comedy and writing and being creative for a living, I could so see how somebody could have kids and just go, you know what? I'm just going to be a stay-at-home parent.
Yeah. Do you find
I'll just stay at home. I'll take care of the kids and just play with them all day. Then when my wife comes home from work, I'll, you know, make her a nice drink. And then she can take the kids, and then I'm going to go have a bunch of drinks.
but how is that different than what happens now?
I have to go to gigs. I have to go tell jokes. That's the only difference. It's just cutting out that part.
He has to show up at Tap House 15 next week.
Yeah, yes. Yes, he has to be at the show on time.
It's now drinking at a show instead of drinking at a walking distance bar.
Gotcha. You know? But is it hard? Is it hard, man? Is it hard being like, yeah, I see you're out on the road all the time. You're out wherever, Colorado, wherever. How do you and your wife balance that relationship, like with the kids?
Luckily, I have an amazing wife who understands. I also am not. I'm probably not selfish enough. I could probably be a lot more successful if I was more selfish. The balance of work and family is really tough, I think, for a regular person. And then somebody whose work takes them all over the world makes it even worse. And financially, you know, comedy is not amazing. It's not bad. I in no way want to. You know, I love comedy, and I don't care. I don't make as much money as other people that I'm friends with. But it's really hard to be away that much and then to come home with so little. You know, it's like even the good-paying gigs, I think somebody with a really steady job would be like, wait, you only made how much to do that? And so it's pretty hard to, like, justify. And it makes you really cut out a lot of work. When you have kids and a family and you're kind of thinking, you know, man, I'd be away for how many days? It's not worth it. I can't do it.
So you're telling me that Red Eye didn't pay you like $1 million just to appear on the show? I thought if you were on TV.
I heard how much Kevin Hart made from
Red Eye is great.
Gig in Philadelphia. So.
It's going to, like, you know, Seattle for a week.
Yeah.
And then when you come home after all your expenses, you realize how much you brought home.
Yeah.
Those kind of gigs, you go, hey, you know what? I think I'm not going to Seattle anymore.
Yeah. In Mark's case, it's when he sees his bar tab, he goes, oh, shit. Kids aren't eating this week.
I owe money this gig.
I had six figures before I made it to the bar.
Looks like the kids get nothing.
You guys misheard me. I said six fingers of Scott.
Which is what I'm paying Mark at Tap House 15.
I'll be when I was. Not when I was even single, but when I didn't have kids, you could easily persuade me to do gigs for drinks. I had no problem doing that. It says a lot about me as a person, but. I enjoyed life. I think now with kids, though, the big thing is when I hear my friends who don't have kids tell me that they don't have time to do something or that they're exhausted, I'm like, screw you, dude. You don't even know what tired is. I'm like a grizzled Vietnam vet. Now, you know, you haven't seen hell. You haven't seen hell till it's 3 a.m. Your kid hasn't slept yet. You know, you're rocking them to sleep. You know you got to get up in a few hours to do something. And, it's, you know, you're just sitting there. And then you have your friend who, you know, single, no kids, live in their own apartment in New York City, tell you how they're exhausted. And it's like, you haven't seen hell yet. So what I'm telling you guys is enjoy life right now.
Yeah, okay. No, we're not close to that comedy scene. You should hear our accent. Now, when you get home, are you one of those that brings work home with you, or is it just pretty much, yeah, I'm back from Seattle, that's a thing, come to me, kids?
Unfortunately, I think making a living in entertainment, it's almost like being a doctor without the money. Because it's like you're always on call. You're always trying to keep up with stuff. everything you're doing, you're thinking about, like, hey, should I write about this? Is this something, you know, I can't watch TV or read the news without thinking, oh, this could be something for, I could write for a radio bit or for, you know, a TV or weekend update. Like, everything that is happening, you're always on. And then, you know, then I have things that I want to do, like writing with scripts and stuff like that. And it's finding time in the day to do that is, like, next to impossible.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the road, I try to pack it in and try to not come home and do stuff. But it's impossible to turn it off and to, like, have a day off or, you know, a couple days off. I've really chilled out on my schedule since the second kid was born. And I really backed down from doing a lot of gigs. And I try to find time, you know, if I can get them to sleep, I try to write at night. But it's hard because then it's like that's the only time I can spend with my wife because she teaches during the day.
Who does that?
So it's like, yeah, it's
what kind of weirdos? What kind of weirdos do that? Me,
me. You know, marriage is for fags. But I don't know. Like you guys, like I don't. I can almost not even remember when I didn't have to do this stuff, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I have a 2-year-old, and it's weird. It's hard to remember before that 2-year-old. Like, what was it? What did I used to do with my time?
Well, like, you know, your act, I've seen you a few times, and I worked with you a few times, hired you a few times, but your act is very... You do a ton of stuff on your family and storytelling and whatnot. So I feel like you being in touch with, you know, what's going on with your kids and when you come home, like a lot of that must easily spill into your act. Because you have a very, I'm sure it took many, many years, but you have a very, what I would call, relaxed style on stage. And you kind of ease your, you're very, very, very talented storyteller. So I could see how.
Thank you, man.
Like, I could see how that's, a way that you would definitely use that ability on stage, because you could definitely work on your bits, because some of your bits are long and story told and you're there in the moment. Like the one I'm thinking of right now is, I think it was your wife getting a C-section or something like that. And I was there when you were working on that bit in Dover, and you were doing it at the show, one of the James's shows that we were on. And it's just like, it's fun to see it come together, man.
Yeah. I feel like my act is about 4 or 5 months behind my real life.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I'm
so
still doing divorce material.
It won't be on the stage until about 5 months after it really happened.
But I think that makes sense for most people. Like by the time just because it's new, by the time something's new, worked out, flushed out, edited, you know, it's months and months.
Yeah, and I mean, when I first started, I wanted to be Stephen Wright. I thought I was going to write all these clever one-liners, and I realized I wasn't that smart.
Yeah, I don't know how guys do that.
To do this, let alone like write something that clever, that short, and then have to remember like 1,000 of them. Like, it's just not going to happen. I'm a drinker. I'll repeat the same joke 4 or 5 times in a, you know, half hour set. So I realized I couldn't do that. So the storytelling thing kind of happened naturally just because it had to, if I was going to continue doing stand up, because I couldn't remember these jokes I wrote, but I can remember what happened to me.
So you know? Call yourself storyteller by alcoholism. That's
yeah.
That
sounds like an awesome
T-shirt.
Why do
you think the Irish are such great storytellers?
That's a great name for your next album.
Storyteller by alcoholism. I'm doing it. I'm saying that's going to be it. That's
do it.
Well, he's drinking right now, so he'll forget it.
Yeah. The problem is tomorrow you're going to go, what?
Oh, man. What are you guys? What inspires you guys to take something to the stage?
I mean, I know I've beat this thing into the ground on this show, but I grew up loving comedy, like the big, like, I don't know, Saturday mornings. I just remember watching Comedy Central and stuff like that. And I tried it a bunch in college. Not a bunch, but I did, like, you know, open mics. I told my 3 minutes of awful penis material and thought I was funny, and I wasn't. And, you know, wasted a lot of money taking the trains into
those
New York
stories
City.
About your penis, though, were wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Once those were great.
What, yeah.
You should have been in the bathroom, man. I was staring at that thing. Woo!
But
wasn't even mine.
But as I got older, not even older, but then I did the whole, got married, bought a house, got a real job, all that stuff, and comedy just went by the wayside for almost a decade, and always.
Was it your choice or hers?
Well, I can't blame her. I blame myself.
You blame her for other stuff.
Yeah,
but still.
Yeah, I could blame her for why I'm living in a place with no doors.
That, bathroom wish, door counts.
I wish that statement wasn't true. But no, I will not blame her. I will blame myself. But I used did that as an excuse. I had this life's expectation. Maybe like my parents never put pressure on me, but like I saw how their life was. They got married. They live this perfect little. Fancy life, this perfect, like, you know, leave it to Beaver, get the house in the burbs, dad's a mechanic, mom's a secretary, I don't know, like, got married, yeah. Been together for 40 years, never seemed to fight, I don't know, I thought that's how it would work out for me.
You figure it was a prototype.
So, yeah, so I'm still a teacher, you know, I will always say, all along that time, it was always in the back of my mind, I want to do it. And one of the things that, like, poked me out of it, my brother got married, and I did a best man speech, and it was like a bit. Like, I did it almost like a bit, and I was like, wow. Like, and it got, like,
nice.
Even my family still talks about it to this day. They're like, oh, wow, you know, like, that speech, we still remember, they quote lines from it. And, like, I don't, it was like this awakening that really, like, fueled everything. I'm like, I could do this. So then I took another
That's
2 years
fantastic.
Off. Another 2 years. And then honestly, when my marriage started going south, comedy was the thing that I turned to almost immediately. It was almost like, you know, I've been putting this off for so long. And it was a way, I don't know, I would go and do 5 awful minutes and I just felt better. I don't know. I met a lot of people, sadly, in comedy that were going through a lot of the same things that I were or went through it or... I don't know. So now it's this thing that I'm like kind of obsessed with and I love it. I still don't do enough. I never feel like I do enough. I always feel like I'm not writing enough. I'm not doing mics enough.
That means you're good at it.
I guess. But then in the last,
when the guy tells you they're really good, then probably not.
No. Well, I learned that too.
We know a few people.
Yeah.
I'm not doing enough. I need to write more. I need to perform more. That's when you're hungry. You're good. You're striving for success.
I'm never happy.
You're feeling.
I'm like most people's worst. Like everyone says, they're your worst critic. I am. When I come off stage, the only thing I'll ever say is, "Hey, that felt good." I don't think I've ever said. I killed. I can't stand when people say I killed. Even if you did kill, it's like, all right, say it to you, like your one buddy on the car ride home or like I'm, yeah. You know, like just to say it amongst yeah. other comics, it's like, ew, you know. And then a lot of times what I thought was a great set, I go listen back on my phone. I'm like, not that good of a set. Yeah. Wasn't that good. But I love it, man. I mean, I'm just trying to find. I'm still so new and so fresh at it. A couple years, you know. I don't even count the college years. Maybe, like, yeah, that inspired me a little bit. But the last 2-3 years, that's what's really been, you know, grinding at it. And I don't know. It's something I love to do. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with comedy that's so great is it's never a finished job.
Right.
And you have to be okay with that. Like, you know, you have to be comfortable with being desperate for more and desperate for better. And I think that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just the fact that what you're saying is, like, you know, that you came back to it and then you started working on it and you know you're trying to perfect it. Now you guys are doing this, and you know you're still going out and doing shows, and you're trying to fit it. This is the best time. You know what I mean? Like it's so. If you enjoy this part of it, life's great.
Yeah.
It's the guys who like you know they tell you they want to be a comic because they want to be rich and successful and famous and you know.
Oh, you took my answer.
People, like they're chasing a dragon that can never be caught. I mean, that's essentially why, you know, you see some of these guys who kill themselves with drugs and, you know, because they're never happy. They're never okay with having the ride. Yeah. Like, you got to enjoy the ride because that's the best part.
I feel like comedy is one of those things where it might always be the ride, you know? Like, there might not be a final destination, you know? It might always be the ride for 99.9% of comics, you know? Only so many people have this final boom, you know?
Well, usually when you get... I was just going to say, when you get to that point where you say, you know, oh, I made it, is when you do that one show where it's like nobody gets you, and it's just like, bam, back to reality.
Yeah, I was running because I'm trying to lose a little weight, and I was out running, and I got real depressed because
because the police caught you.
That coke I dropped wasn't mine.
About thinking like, one of this is as far as I go, or whatever. You know, one of this is. You know, whatever, like, did I waste all this time? I went through this whole, like, traumatic, insane, like, I thought I was going to break down and have a nervous breakdown. And by the end of the run, I was like, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Like, yeah, that's when you look down at your phone and you saw my message, hey, want to come on the podcast tonight? You're like, wow, yes.
I'm excited.
How about you? What inspired you to get into it?
I guess it just was like a self-confidence thing. I can always, I'm the kind of guy that just like goes to parties, doesn't really talk to a lot of people. I mean, I'll go there, it'll be like 50 people, and I'm the guy who'll just sit by himself with the dog scratching him for 3 hours. But, it's one of those things. I always knew I can be funny. I guess that's the best way to say it. I don't want to say, yeah, I'm funny.
You're not.
One of these days, I'll get that self-confidence. But, I mean, it was one of those things. I always wanted to do it. And you know, like, growing up, loved comedy shows. And it just took a very long time to get the guts to go up there. And it's still a thing to get the guts. And it's just good to kind of get some... minor satisfaction, get up there, give it a try, whether it's a success and you feel good, or if it's a failure and you can bounce back. I mean, it's just kind of the journey for me, you know, just getting more social and going out there with people.
I don't know if it's the same with you guys, but I actually, and this is one of the reasons why I think things moved forward for me. When I was bombing, I'd just sit back and enjoy it. Like, this is where it is. I can do what I can to try to change it, but I can't change this moment right now. I can only try to make it better. And I would just, like, I would be on stage dying the worst death and just start laughing at myself.
See, that's something I learned a little late. Like, the first year, I'd bomb and I'd be driving on, like, you know, I'd be driving home in my truck. I feel like it'd always be raining and, like, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Like a John Cusack movie.
The ending theme song to the Hulk, you know?
The Sounds of Silence is on the radio. Hello, darkness. Like, I'm looking at the, you know, like, going through the red light. That would always be me for the first year. Now, I can care less. Almost. I could almost care less about bombing. Now, I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm not going out there. At least I'm, like... Most 99% times, at least I'm doing my newer stuff, and I've tried to at least make my stuff that's real. At least it's about me. And then I see the guy that goes up after me and does like his Chinese food joke, and I'm like, okay, at least I'm not doing that. At least I'm not doing that.
That's Thursday, Scott. But I digress.
I won't say what show it is because you guys will know who I was working for, but I was dying the worst death, and I started laughing about it. And not like in a condescending way, like I genuinely was laughing at myself, like, oh, you've been doing this 14 years, and this is what you're giving these people, huh? You know, like, I'm just like, and I'm laughing, I go, enjoy it, you know what I mean? Like, I can't change right now. I can change the next moment, and I'll try to figure out what to make them laugh or to enjoy it. But I realized I was having so much fun bombing. The crowd kind of came around. And at the end, they didn't feel like I bombed. They were kind of like, yeah, that was a rough beginning, man. That was fun. Like, the crowd kind of went through it with me, you know, and it was like, yeah, this is great. You know, like, our worst day at work is better than most people's best day. Like, you can bombing in front of an audience and having a couple of drinks and laughing with your buddies, and you can feel your friends in the back just laughing at you. You know, just like, oh, my God, he is dying. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. Like, I don't mind the bad days with stand-up, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the dream would be to be able to have that same, and I've been doing it longer, but with acting, to be able to have that. Or when I know it's not working, be able to kind of just enjoy it and keep going forward. Because with acting, I'd beat myself up, you know, and I don't have that. Or with stand-up, it's like, there's nothing you can throw at me that I won't take in and be in the moment with it and enjoy it for what it is. I mean, I guess I have been threatened a few times on stage. Those were not fun, because all I'm doing in the back of my head is going, is there security here? Do I have a way out? Is this, you know, like, I'm not much of a fighter. I don't want to get killed.
What were you threatened for? Like, what was your the threat? Like, I'm going to kick your ass kind of thing?
Both times happened in Philadelphia.
Of course.
And then my wife decided we should move here, so.
Yep. There you go.
When she wanted to move here, I'm like, they don't really like me here. Let's stay in New York City where the people are friendly. The first time, there wasn't anything. Like, now looking back on it, I wish I could have taken it in and just laughed about it. But, like, it was right when that Bill Burr thing happened with the booing.
Yep.
And this audience I was doing, they literally thought that's what they were supposed to do because it's all over the news. So when I got brought on stage, they didn't even see me yet. Like, I didn't even get on stage. And they're yelling and booing and calling me a faggot and a piece of shit, and they're going to kill me. I didn't even get on stage.
Usually you don't get that till about the 6-minute mark, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least get to know me before you give me the assumptions. You know, at least it's more valid. Like, okay, you guys think I'm gay. All right, whatever. You know, like, I can deal with it. They were, before I even got on stage, they didn't know if it was a female comic. They didn't know if I could have been Mr. T. You know, they had no idea who was coming out. And they're booing and screaming and yelling. And I got on stage, and it got so bad that it literally, I couldn't even, like, talk because I was just so loud, and I just threw the mic down and walked out.
Oof.
And people were yelling that they were going to kill me after the show. And I was like, well, I guess we'll make it quick. And I dropped the mic and walked off stage. That was a while ago. And then recently I was doing a casino down here, and I don't know what sparked it. And after the show, a bunch of people were trying to figure out what it was. Some guy, just older guy, too, he was like, you know, like our dad's age, stood up and just started yelling, you've gone too far. I'll fucking kill you. I'll kill you. And I was like, I looked at this guy. He's like an old man, like this little old man. I'm like, did I do something to make you mad? And he said he made the, like, finger slit the throat move.
Yes.
And then he goes, you don't know who I am. I could buy and sell this place. And I was like, it's a casino, sir. Like, I'm pretty sure you probably, if you have enough money, you probably could. You know, like, I'm a comedian. Give me $20. I'll get off stage. I don't care. And yeah, the guy right. kept going. He's like, you don't know who I am. You better watch who starts your car. You
wow.
better watch out. And I go, well, you must not be that big of a mobster because you left a bunch of witnesses. There's like 100 people here.
Yeah.
And I was trying to have fun with it, you know, and try to make it fun and, like, you know, whatever. Like, it's part of the show and we'll just keep moving forward. But him and the guy sitting next to him just kept, while I'm doing my act, just kept, like, mouthing at me, like, you're dead. You're dead.
Wow.
And they made me, and I was like, actually, I looked around the room, and I was like, so what are you going to do to get thrown out of the casino? Is, you know, threatening the entertainment's not enough, huh? Like, I was, like, really nervous, and I was trying to stall to get somebody there to throw this guy out. And I didn't know how to end my act, so
That's
I
crazy.
Just kind of kept going. And then when I was done, I got off stage, and, like, the floor manager was like, hey, why don't you go backstage for a little bit and wait for it to clear out?
Jesus.
And I was kind of like, this is a casino. Like, just have the police walk him out. Like, you, yeah. I didn't do anything.
Wow.
And the guy, you know, eventually he left and whatever, and I never, you know, my car started fine. But I was going to call my wife to come and, you know, start it up for me, but but that was like
chivalry's alive in the Riccadonna family.
Hey, I said I respect women. I didn't. I want them as equals. And if I'm going to die, she could die too. But I that was one of the only times I was ever on stage and really scared. Like, I don't know what's happening, and I'm not comfortable at all right now.
That was also the first time you met Mike Pence.
Mike Pence,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were you talking about? What were you talking
that's,
about?
A couple people that were in the show came and were waiting for me. And when I came back out, they were like, we're trying to go through your act on what you could have done to make him so mad.
Hmm.
And we couldn't figure it out. We could not figure it out at all. Like, what?
It was the.
How did it escalate to this?
It was your crapping.
Like, maybe I looked like somebody who did something bad to him. Like, I don't know what it was. But all I'm thinking is now looking back in my head right now, is he was at the table with his family. Like, it was, like, daughters and, you know, looked like sons. And, you know, like, how could you act like that in public? Like, what's Thanksgiving like at that dude's house?
Nobody tells crap in their pants jokes in front of me.
Apparently. But it was, like, I was only at, like, 3 minutes in when the guy did it.
Oh.
Like, so I didn't even get to any of my shit in my pants stories. And we almost had a fourth one, you know?
Prop comedy.
I didn't know what... I mean, the thing is, I'm pretty sure I could have taken him, because he was an old man, but I don't know who he's with or, you know, anything like that. Like, I was legitimately scared.
That sounds frightening.
I did have a situation in West Virginia that it was right before I left for... I was leaving for Iraq for a USO tour, and the MC, he wasn't all there. He was, you know, he wasn't all there. And he brought me up. It was the weirdest thing. I was with, I don't know if you guys know, Brian McGinnis. He was laughing so hard at this because the guy brought me up. He said, this guy's from Afghanistan, and we're sending him back. I don't know how to pronounce his name, and walked off stage.
What?
So in front of a bunch of West Virginians, I walked out, and I, you know, I have a big beard, and I walk out, and I'm like, they're going to kill me. But the audience, like, after I signed out, like, I kind of made fun of the intro, like, I'm not from Afghanistan, I'm from Ohio, but this is very, very different. And, like, the audience kind of laughed and they were whatever, you know. But that was, like, a moment of, like, what is this guy doing?
That's weird. It's weird.
he said he's from the Middle East, and next month we're sending him to Afghanistan.
Wow. Wow. Maruk Rikadana.
I don't know where he got any of that, other than I've worked for the USO.
But, Mark, we're coming up on the end here. I'm sure we'll have you on again. But before we go, what are the kind of what's up in the Mark Rikadana world? What are we doing now? What are we working on? Where do we see you? What's going on? Yeah,
I got some fun things happening. With I wrote a pilot for a show with a friend of mine, Vinny Nardiello, and we're going to be shooting it hopefully in the new year.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was something I was super excited about, and there was a big hold on it. We were supposed to have already shot it this summer, and there was a little bit of a problem. And then my website seems to, for some reason, not have the right dates up. So I would say go to my website and find out where I am, but...
Well,
that's probably not going to happen.
Well, where you will be, you'll be with us in a week in up here in Jefferson, New Jersey, at Tap House 15 on October 13th.
That's going to be fun.
Oh yeah, it'll be.
That's
fun.
That's right.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, coming. And then if you're in South Jersey, see me the next day at the casino at the King of Prussia.
All right.
So on the 14th. So no matter where you are in New Jersey, you have zero excuse to see me.
That's
you
it.
Better be at one of the shows.
So again, that's Mark Rikadana headlining the show. It's free to the public, so there's literally no excuse. And just a little thing, we're going to do a little charity part to the show. We're going to do a little 50-50 for 11th Hour Rescue here in which is in North Jersey, which is a dog rescue, cat rescue place. And so we're going to do a little charity thing. We're tied in. Hopefully they're going to bring out all the people from that organization, and we'll fill the room again. The first one was awesome. So it is a awesome show. And Mark Rikadana, one of the nicest guys in the business.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll have a drink in a week.
Yes.
In his car.
I got a designated driver and everything.
Oh, man. Oh. Oh. Then we'll have many drinks in a week.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Mark, thanks so much for coming on, and I'll see you.
Thanks, man. Anytime.
Yeah, I would love
anytime.
To have you.
Anytime. Just give me a heads up. I'll figure out how to get some free time to come out and do some time with you guys.
Sounds good, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a week, all right?
Yep.
All right.
Later, brother.
Appreciate it.
Be good. Right.
Late.
Mark Rikadana. Headphones not working?
Yeah, the other ear came out. That's when when the one ear went out. I'm like, rain dove all over again.
See, we have now fixed that problem. You are no longer in the recorder side of it. We have now figured out, only 2 years later, how to put your headphones into the soundboard correctly.
We're progressing.
But Mark Rikadana, one of the nicest, most down-to-earth guys that I've met in my short time in this business. But a hilarious freaking comedian. Right. He's absolutely hilarious.
It's just like you started off with. Don't interrupt, Obi. He just balances that laid back with professional attitude up there, and it's amazing.
Yeah, one of the best comics that I know, and he's just like I said, more than a comic, he's just like an awesome dude. Like, he's just so nice and welcoming, and like so awesome to new comics. So that's Mark Rikadana. Do check him out, whether it's at our show or just in general. But he does a lot of things. Weekend Update. He was just on Red Eye, so he's definitely worth checking out. I'm going to stop real quick. I'm going to take a pee, and we'll continue.
All right.
Yes. So we are back. Mike, brother, we're back.
Woo-hoo.
We're back. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I think that's my least favorite thing is, like, coming back or, like I've said, introing the show. I just hate it. It's like, I just feel like, I don't know.
We should just go on. You know what's happening.
No, you just know at this point. You got it. You did this.
Then funny segue music or something.
Z Morning Zoo. But you have. I went to the gas station, the gas station convenience store, the big one. I got a cup of coffee today, and I go to give the guy that it was like $1.90 or whatever, and I go to give the guy the money, and as he's grabbing the money, he's got like 3-inch long, 2-inch long fingernails, So he grabs it and I almost try to avoid it. But then as he gives me the change, I gotta get the money, and his fingernails are actually touching my palm. I was just bro, if you're gonna be shaking people, touching people's hands all day, I don't wanna feel your coke nails. Excuse me out, man. The more the older I get, the more I don't wanna touch people. I don't like touching anybody. I don't, I'll give you a handshake and a little bro hug, but I don't know. I hate when people
just like somebody comes up and random grabs you or something like that. It always gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, we're grown men at this point. Just the grazing of this guy's fingernails just sent me into It gave me the
quivers.
The quivers, man. Was does anything like that creep you out? Anything particular?
I'm trying to think. BO really bothers me.
BO?
Yeah, I mean, somebody has really bad BO and they're in a group and then they walk up to want to give you a hug or something. It's just I'll be right back. Yeah.
Breath gets me. There's a person that will remain unnamed.
Okay.
Because I know them, but their breath is so bad that I drove in the back seat with them a bunch of times. I'll be in the back seat, we'll go out to eat, and their breath hits the vents in the car and blows it into the back seat. That bad, and it's literally the child locks will be on sometimes, and I can't crack the window. I'm we're going out to eat. I'm not hungry by the time I get there.
Yeah, spitting when you're talking. Always freaks me out, especially if it's somebody that's not close to me or something like that. If a family member does it, you're kind of joking around, haha, say don't spray it. And all when some random person's talking to you at work and their saliva hits you in the eye, I'm freaking out, and I'm trying to keep composure while talking to you, but at the same time,
I'm not. Germs don't bother me that much. I'm not
Yeah, I'm not germaphobe.
No,
I'm one of them guys. Food hits the floor, 5-second rule. I don't care.
Yeah, but the problem is you have the 5-minute rule.
I'll get to it eventually. I said it's a 5-second rule. I didn't tell you when I started the timer.
You said yeah. You remember the episode of George when he eats Seinfeld where he eats the food off the top of the garbage can. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything in life can be always
go back to a sign.
Everything's remember that time? I feel like I've said that 100 times. Remember when George? Remember when, I don't know.
It was a good written show.
But
and we all found out it was really Larry David instead of Seinfeld.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
I've Curb Your Enthusiasm. What'd that go, 8-9 years?
But that doesn't mean that wasn't Seinfeld.
I'm not saying Seinfeld wasn't involved, but I would say more the driving figure. I mean, the George character was somebody Larry David knew. I think Cosmo was somebody Larry knew. I mean, he developed a lot of stuff from people and things he saw.
Yeah. You know what he didn't develop?
Bad news!
No, he didn't.
We're talking about bad and shit. We're talking about bad and shit.
You know what time it is, Verlo.
Is it ghost?
Yeah, girl. You know I like them bears and shit.
So if you've never heard
the ending's the best.
If you've never heard this show before, it's I have a weird obsession with bears. Not really an obsession, it just kind of became a funny obsession through the podcast, because we've done several episodes where we found funny bear stories. Not really funny bear stories, just news, bear news. And I'm actually thinking about making it taking these segments and making them like YouTube like videos where we'll do bear news clips and like show the clips. But a couple of bear things. I have one more topic to talk about also after this. But let's start with this one. Okay. There is a guy. Ooh. He posted this video. He's all bloodied up. He is, he's got a torn up hat, but he, Berlo, you would describe him as blood all over his face, middle-aged man.
Baseball cap still on properly. Good for him.
Yep. So let's hear what happened to our friend here.
He sucks in bear country. Just had a grizzly with two cubs come at me from about 80 yards. And I sprayed the shit out of her with bear spray. And then I went to, on my face and protected the back of my neck. She got my head good. I don't know what's under my hat. My ear. My arm.
Ooh,
pieces of stuff hanging out. I don't know what's going on in there. And then my shoulder. It's ripped up. I think my arm's broke, but legs are good. Internal organs are good. Eyes are good. I just walked out 3 miles, and I go to the hospital. So be safe out there. Bear spray doesn't always work. But it's better than nothing.
So, isn't it nice that he did the FaceTime live before taking care of the body parts falling out of his system?
Yeah, yeah. So my first instinct, unfortunately, nowadays is like, well, is this real? Is this a real video?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's real. I think so. The guy does show he is bloodied up. He does look like maybe the kind of guy that might be out there with bear spray.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wonder what bear spray is actually, what it actually is.
Is it like a mint spray for bears, maybe?
Mint.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So, like, you'd think that mint would be what
yeah.
would fend off the bear. So you're like, here's some wintergreen.
I think they're more spearmint bears.
They're afraid of
wintergreen, that will piss them off.
So bears are afraid of spearmint.
Like, tanginess. Like, if you have a mojito, throw it right at the bear. That's why you don't see them on the beaches, bears. They're scared of those mojitos.
Okay. Right.
I always go into the woods with a muddler.
Some banaka. That's what bear spray is. That's all it is banaka.
Why do you think they call it lifesavers? Come on now.
But, so then he shows a chunk of his arm missing.
Mm.
What do you think, real or not?
I gotta think real. I mean, unless he's a really good effects artist or something like that, it looks pretty straightforward. But again, you gotta be pretty wacky to get attacked by a bear, have to walk 3 miles to get back to civilization, and just go, let me put it up on my feed.
But just think, if we did that, we'd probably, like, this guy's got 659,000 likes. So, Berlo, what I'm asking you is this weekend, please. Take your phone.
Okay.
Wrap yourself in meat.
Okay. Well, I have been doing videos as of late.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Wrap yourself in meat.
Mm-hmm. The Lady Gaga dress. Okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And see what happens with the bears, and then maybe we can get 700,000 likes as opposed to our normal 3.
It'd be great if we go out in the woods and you're taping me with the meat suit and then a bear attacks you just for the hell of it.
The guy with the camera.
God, bears hate redheads. I forgot that.
So, that's the guy that posted this recently about a million likes. Now, here's something else.
You think anybody gave him some thumbs downs for the video? Yeah. Bro, I wasn't entertained
during
by that.
World War II, the 22nd Artillery Supply Company of the 2nd...
Hold on.
Hi, Donna Calloway.
Right.
Polish Corps had an unusual soldier among its ranks. A 440-pound Syrian brown bear named Wojtek. After being released from the Siberian labor camp during a Nazi invasion of Russia in 1942, 22nd began a long trek south toward Persia. Along the way, they bought an orphaned bear cub, Wojtek. One former Polish soldier recalled to the BBC, he was like a child, like a small dog. He was given milk from a bottle, like a baby. So therefore, he felt that these soldiers are nearly his parents, and therefore, he trusted in us and was very friendly. As Wojtek grew, his diet changed a bit, switching from milk to meat. But he remained friendly. He became fond of drinking beer, as well as smoking and even eating cigarettes. Don't worry, though, he never got drunk. A bottle of beer was nothing to Wojtek as a 440-pound bear. Wojtek's presence was a great morale booster for the troops, who loved to box and wrestle with their furry comrade. He would hang out the passenger side of trucks until he was so large that he had to be transported in the back of cargo vehicles. When the company reached Egypt in 1943, they had some red tape to deal with. The Polish army had strict rules denying pets passage to war zones, so the company made Wojtek an official soldier. The fearsome bear, now Corporal Wojtek, helped his human friends by ferrying crates of munitions up and down the lines. His presence ultimately inspired the emblem for his company. After the war, Wojtek spent his days in the Edinburgh Zoo until he passed in 1963. Like, share, and comment below, and have a beer in honor of the great Polish soldier.
Now, the amount of Polish jokes that can be told out of this. This is why they lost. This is why the Nazis invaded them with ease. Because they show clips of soldiers boxing with the bear. They're like, how do we transport the bear? Meanwhile, the German soldiers are ready for Blitzkrieg. And
yeah, you just see them like walking through the mountains with all the snow and no food. But hey, Wojtek is doing all right.
Yeah, Wojtek the smoking and drinking Polish bear.
Later, Wojtek became the supreme leader of Poland.
This is why Germany went through Poland like a knife through butter. Like,
hey, Hitler? Yeah, we're already done. I can't believe it either.
And it's like, yeah, they liked the bear, but not only that, they made it their logo. Yeah. They tried to carry it from state to country to country. Like,
I like how it's just a matter of putting a piece of paperwork saying he's a colonel. Then it's like, oh, yeah, he can come in.
Oh, Colonel Bear, he's more than welcome.
Right this way, soldier.
Place Colonel Bear right there. It's allowed.
1942.
It must have sucked to be like the guys who just joined the Polish army and their commander is a bear.
You report to the bear. Sarge, he wants to eat my face. You do what your commander says to do.
Yeah, these dumb Polish people feeding it. They're like, we got no more beer. Well, you fed it all to the bear trying to get the bear drunk.
Well worth it.
I bet you like those old like World War II tapes, like where the Polish army was cold and out of supplies. Could not figure why, how they used so many of rations in 1 week. You know, as a bear like drunk rolling down the hill in Warsaw, like vomiting and.
Wojtek ate all our portions, man. What the hell?
Oh, the Polish. But that's gonna be this week's episode of
what? Oops. Seriously, what?
Bear news. We're talking about bear and shit. We're talking about bear and shit. It's freaking bear news. Bears in the world doing all sorts of things. Yeah, girl. You know I like them bears and shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. So we would be remiss. We would be remiss if we did not talk about the clowns.
Yeah.
The clowns.
I guess start off, do you have a fear of clowns?
I do not. I do not have a fear of clowns. I think I was going to ask you the same thing. The clown thing, I think, has become like almost like a stereotypical fear, like almost where it's become like a commercial type fear, like where everyone should be afraid of clowns. Like
you're something where they're like, name a fear. Number one answer, clowns.
Exactly. I do not have a personal fear of clowns. However, just today in Parsippany, they just picked up a clown with a machete. Parsippany's about 8 minutes down the road. So that's always good. Yeah, there's clowns everywhere in all different states. Creepy clown sightings, people getting clown threats, clowns with machetes, clowns with hammers, clowns with weapons. I don't really know what to think about it. I remember like a clown video like about a year and a half ago, like one in Hoboken or something like not Hoboken, Staten Island
it
maybe.
Vic DiBattista, he put up a
video. DiBattista.
DiBattista.
I'm
thinking about the
Vic DiBattista.
There is a NASCAR driver named DiBattista, so.
Sure there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a natural fear I have or anything like that. Like, if I'm just in a room and a clown walks in, like, after 5 minutes, it'll be like, maybe just a little uncomfortable, but it's
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
We got to rewind that statement for a second.
Gotcha.
hold on. If you're in a room,
yeah, just by myself,
and a
chilling.
Clown walks in and stays for too long, that's when you start to get nervous. Now, please explain to the audience when this has happened.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Wait,
but I'm just saying, in that scenario, like,
let me get this straight. Your fear is not the clown walking in; it is him outstaying his welcome.
Because you know, I mean, I got stuff to do, and I'm looking at him like, "What's up, man?"
Like, you put out a bowl of chips, but he stays for dinner and dessert and that kind of thing. Yeah,
it's like, bro, you see me cooking dinner. I mean, you got to get the hint. You got to go home and all. I'd call an Uber. I don't know.
So you're more fearful of kind of like clowns with no manners.
Yeah,
then.
Not respecting my boundaries.
Okay. Continue. Please enlighten
me. I don't know how more I can enlighten you.
So you're...
You're not
afraid of clowns.
No. Like I said, I mean, you're just in a room and a clown walks in and it's like 5, 10, 15 minutes. You're kind of like...
You keep all going right, back to if you're in a room and a clown walks in. Like,
this doesn't happen to you. This is why I got to keep explaining it to you. This is a natural thing in the Furlough household.
If you're shopping and a clown walks in, then I'm nervous. Yeah.
I don't mind flying, but when the pirate's on the plane, that's when I get a little weary.
I feel like this happens in your apartment. Like, a clown walks in every once in a while. Like, hey, I forgot this here last night.
Thanks, Boffo.
All right. See you next Thursday.
He said bye, Izzy.
Now, I told you I had an aunt that was a clown, which was also a bit I was working, but I did have an aunt that was a clown. And like, it wasn't a out of place thing where if we were at like a family party, she would not be there. And she would come like 2 hours later because she was at a clown gig. She would come in like full clown. Her name was Dimples.
Oh, okay. What was her gig?
She had dimples.
I mean, that's it. I mean, no juggling, no balloon
animals, I think. She had a partner named Tickles. Tickles is behind
that. That was my favorite radio show, Dimples and Tickles.
Yeah. But
they really took over O&A for a little bit.
Yeah, like, it's one of the stories I'm working on stage. Well, haven't been lately, but I had an aunt who was a clown. I was never afraid of her. Mm-hmm. Clowns, but I guess clowns, like, where do clowns have any place in real life now? Like, they don't really have any.
I don't know. I mean, I guess,
like, are they still
like
a big part of the
parties.
Circus? Like, kids parties? I
mean, somewhat like, the circus.
Like,
I'm
having a party, I'm having, like, Elsa or Batman coming. I'm not having a clown.
Yeah. There's no famous clowns anymore. I mean, about the only one left is Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, and he's just he's a fictional character.
Yeah,
he's
like, well, most clowns are technically fictional characters.
Right,
Bozo the Clown wasn't technically.
But there's not like one actual like Ronald anymore. Like, he's only like drawn. He's like a graphic at this point.
I think they still do commercials with.
Does he walk into every once in a while? He walks into.
No,
the room?
I'm over Burger King guy, so he gets pissed with that.
So the clown
the Whopperito.
What do you think is going on with this clown thing? You think it's just a bunch of losers copycatting off each other, seeing if they can make the news?
Pretty much. I think it started off with like one teenager who he's like, dude, I'm gonna dress up in like clown outfit and have like a pocket knife or something like that, and like freak out 40-year-old women and stuff like that. And then you get the first story, and it's like, ah, that's cool. And you get the next drunk frat kid who tries it, and then it just grows. And
I'm
then
kind
before
of
you
excited.
Know it, we vote Trump for president.
I'm kind of excited for the first clown shooting, the first like idiot who roams onto someone's lawn and they're just like. Boom! Blows the clown's leg off.
It's about to happen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You notice you don't hear this stuff in Texas.
Yeah. No clowns walking around in Texas. Yeah. All the liberal states here are like, oh, he's just a clown. Let him be a clown.
Let him be. Yeah,
he's
not hurting anybody. He's got a machete. Well, has he swung it at you?
He's expressing his inner clown.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's like to be trapped in a clown's body your whole life. You just don't know what it's like. When you're a clown and you're not allowed to express your clownness, everyone should have their own clown space. Mm-hmm. Clowns should be able to roam around. Clowns should be able to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Clowns.
Clowns, they were the original Native Americans. I hope you know that.
Yeah, you've heard.
They owned the land.
LGBTCBC. Clowns are the last one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'll have to ask AJ about this. But, you know, the clown, you're allowed to be a clown. No, everyone disrespects the clowns. Clowns have been put down for years.
I got to tell you, the way the letters are going on that, that gay parade is going to be awesome.
Clown bashing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, the banners are going to be huge. But,
let's see. 2120. You missed the letter. I think there was a Q in the middle. I don't know.
I remember I was in like middle school and I was hanging out with my buddy Alex and this other kid. He was kind of like a thuggish kind of kid. And we had just discovered the Insane Clown Posse. Mm-hmm. And they were terrible. But when
fucking you're magnets, how do they work?
Well, that's my outro song today. But
I spoiled it. Cut this out.
But you, we, you know, when you're like seventh grade and you hear like songs about like going down, like all these crazy things, you know, like you think it's kind of funny and kind of into it. So like we're playing it, we're blasting it on my father's stereo downstairs. I'm like, my poor grandma is upstairs, like, like, boy, you know, like the lyrics would be like, eating pussy, how does that work? I ate so much pussy that my tongue came out of her butt. Like all this stupid. Here, I'll show
classic.
You. I'll show you that. So we were blasting it.
Who says my music is dead?
Yeah. So my grandma would be like, you guys got to turn that music off. Oh, my God. Grandma, rest.
Grandma, you don't understand.
This was the song. This was the song.
We're juggalos, damn it. Yeah.
We were never juggalos, but here we go. What's your name? This is called Cotton Candy by Insane Clown Posse.
All right.
We were into it. Now we're like seventh grade, eighth grade. Like we had a tape. Like this was like kind of cool. And we didn't like, at the time, we didn't really know who they really were. Like, we got the tape, but we didn't have, like, pictures or anything. Like, we knew they were clowns.
Yeah.
Some call me Shaggy Balls. There's my grandma. God, why? Why?
You were such a nice boy. What changed you?
This did.
Cotton candy, it wasn't made for the mouth. You don't believe me? Then take a look in itself. Rotten candy is what you'll find without a doubt.
You come upstairs with a white and black makeup on. You don't understand me, Grandma. What's the soda they they like threw at the concert? Was it Fanta?
Yeah, Fanta.
Yeah.
No,
it was some cheap brand. Let's look.
Hold on. I know this. And I was reading on the Insane Clown Posse the other day. Something.
Fago,
that's it. So, yeah. Apparently, that's still a thing. They got, there's like marriages have happened at the Insane Clown Posse Festival. The Gathering of the Juggalos, if you will. So, yeah. This song's all about going down on a girl. So we got to hear the second verse, at least.
That's so horrible, but so wonderful at the same time.
It's a fucking what? In her butt.
I tried to push it in. I couldn't turn it off. She said, cat, Katie, don't get wet until it takes a bath. Oh, shit.
Now what was I to do? Run like a bitch or eat the cotton stew?
I thought for a second, then I said, what the fuck?
I ate so much cotton that my tongue came out her butt.
I'll have another bowl. My boys had to come and get me because I lost control. On the way home, I had a new attitude. I'm like,
hey, let's go eat some more pussy.
Michelangelo made a cameo on there. Good for Robbie Wrist.
Yeah, it's moments like that that make me like go like, man,
cringe your childhood.
My parents are always right. Always right. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Like, you thought they would be like classic songs, and you'd be telling your great grandchildren
about
the
cotton candy.
Back in my day, we had a song called Cotton Candy. and it got good in the city.
So you look outside the window tomorrow, and you see a clown walking around the apartment complex.
You're not going to blink an eye.
Unless he stays too long.
Yeah. You can come in. But dinner starts in 10 minutes.
And you're on time for dinner.
Yeah.
Boy.
I got to set the table. I don't want to hear any crap about juggling or anything like that. If you want to come over for longer, let's schedule something.
I think this clown thing's going to, something shitty's going to happen. And then
somebody's
going to
do something really, really stupid.
Yep. It's coming. It's boiling. They want that Facebook headline, and they're going to get it, all right.
It's going to be the guy who runs up to somebody with, a fake knife, and they find out it's a UFC fighter.
Yep. But I'm more afraid of, one of them doing something just to, make national headlines, hurting somebody. But, I'm hoping, I just want a clown to get shot because I think that would be hilarious. But I guess that's it for me. That's it for me today. You got anything, bro?
I was looking at a couple articles earlier today where they were talking about how they're making technologies now where you can send your password secretly through your body instead of Wi-Fi. They're building apps for that, and they're talking about machines now that can read books without even opening the book to help people out. It's kind of weird. Do you kind of see it going where our technologies are getting smarter, but in essence, we're making people twice as dumb?
Yes. We're very close to just being basically integrated into our technology, where we don't know where the technology is in us. Like, it's in our phones, in us, our dialing out, or the bill. It sounds crazy, but I get that Google Glass thing. It's only a matter of time before we're wearing contacts that you look and see what direction you're going. Hey, I'm looking at this book through my eyes, and it's scanning through the internet and telling me the price of it at all these stores near me, and it's giving me review. Like, you're reading Yelp reviews through your eyes. Like, you're not even looking at a phone or anything like that.
And then companies are like, oh, I see you're looking at that. May I suggest
it's
the following place?
That's probably not even far. That's probably not far. I mean, the technology's there with, the Google glasses and the phones and the skin. Now, all you got to do is how do they get it in our eye and, what you're looking at and stuff. Like, it's so close. I mean, they have technology for people who are, like paraplegics and stuff like that, where they can trace their eyes and where they're reading and stuff like that. So it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. is it making us dumber? I don't know if dumber's the word. I don't really know. But it's definitely going to make us... For instance, teaching, right? How obsolete is a teacher going to become where I can basically go look up anything in seconds? Imagine I can do something like that. Hey, how do I build a blah, blah, blah? The video comes out, boom, 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 boom. I already feel obsolete. I'm like, well, I'm teaching you this. I don't think it's relevant whatsoever, but it's always going to be behind, because by the time a district or a state does it, it's going to be antiquated. It's a couple years old,
Now, as a teacher, do you feel we have to hold on to certain things to teach them just because, hey, build your memory, build this, build that, or is it kind of just,
no,
this is a new world?
I think it's very hard. It is the new world. I think a lot of things that we hold on to can be learned almost on the internet. I think things like math and stuff like that still need to be learned how to do, because if you don't really do it, you don't really understand what's going on. But I think your histories and your sciences, we can, Berlo, if you're interested in World War II in Denmark, you can go get every piece of information you ever wanted on it within seconds, faster than any educator can tell you. So it is a little scary. It is a little scary on where that's going, but I don't know.
I mean, pretty much left. The only people who are going to be learning stuff is the Amish.
Yeah. Those
Maybe we should send kids there.
Or clowns there.
Yeah, but they stand a long time there.
Well, the Amish are kind of like clowns. Yeah. They're like the clowns of the past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really know what I'm just saying, but...
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway.
Kind of sounded funny. Maybe we should cut that up and use it on Clamor.
Yeah. But, Berlo, let's get out of here. Anything to promote? I know you've been doing some video stuff. You can explain that. Go ahead.
I'll promote the page, facebook.com/TheBerlo721. Trying a new thing here called a little Facebook Live series I call Pumpkin Spice Whatever. I'm doing 31 days where I'm going to be reviewing 31 different things of pumpkin flavor.
How many in right now?
I am 4 in right now. In fact, I just did a video from one of our sponsors, Manskirt, at their 1 year anniversary, after having some lovely food and wonderful drinks.
Lovely and wonderful?
Yeah, both.
Mm, nice.
That's the best way to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
But outside the area, I decided to try some pumpkin spice applesauce that didn't go too well.
So, what are the 4 things you tried so far?
I did pumpkin spice tortilla chips.
See, that doesn't make any
sense
to
me. Yeah, let me scroll down. What was the name of the brand? Good for you. Yeah, food should taste good. Harvest pumpkin tortilla chips.
Hmm.
And the next day, I did pumpkin pie Pop-Tarts.
I can see that.
Yep. After that, I did the Go-Go Squeeze apple pumpkin spice. And today, I did Rita's Pumpkin Pie Cream Ice.
Hmm. Now, are you a big pumpkin fan? Or you just...
I am a pumpkin fan, but some of these kind of test my pumpkin enjoyment, if you will.
They test your pumpkin?
Much like clowns that stay too long.
Well, go to Berlo's page, check those out, comment.
End of the month is the return of Tonight on the Walking Dead.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
And
one more thing this month, I will be doing the Shenanigans Showdown reviews of all Leprechaun movies on my site.
There you go. Mike Berlo, making things happen. If you also see the two of us this week, I hope to get this up. So if it's not up, then this will be yesterday or a couple days before. But I hope to get this up maybe even tonight. We will be in East Rutherford. Not sure the name of the
Railroad Cafe.
That's it, Railroad Cafe.
Rich Carucci, Jackie Byrne, myself, Paul Goldenberg, yourself, hosted by Rob Apple.
Yep, there you go. So we'll be in East Rutherford. I'm not sure the price. Is it free? I don't really know.
But show up and pay whatever, because we're worth it.
Cheap fucks.
Especially you, Mark Riccadonna.
Yeah, Mark.
Sitting in a car drinking. What's wrong with you?
Then next week I'll be at the... I'll be at the Stress Factory on the 11th. Stress Factory in New Brunswick. I'll be on Gordon Baker Bones' Big Ten show. So, and then most best of all, please, if you listen to this episode, come on out to Tap House 15. They're doing a Terrapin beer takeover beforehand, and then after that, free comedy show, doing a little charity. It's kind of everything I want to do. So it's important to keep it going, because now I have this free show that I've wanted to do, and I am tying it into charity, and I am tying it to beer. So it's all these wonderful things.
Except money.
Yeah. it's all these great things, and the people there could not have been cooler. And they're awesome. And this show's awesome. Mark Riccadonna is headlining. Rich Carucci, Natty Bumper Car, Bobby Gaines, and Bobby Gaines. That's it. Yeah. And me. And me. And I'll be hosting. So come on out, and it'll be a good time. And that's it. That's it. Most of all, it has been a great month for the podcast. It really has.
True.
So sometimes we get lost in that. Sometimes we get obsessed with the numbers, and it's a problem, because it's not really about the numbers.
Especially when you text me.
Yeah. There's big...
Then you say stuff about Peyton Manning, and I get confused.
Yeah. There's big weeks, small weeks, but the last month has been really good. We went to Kilt Fest. We had Jeremiah Watkins from The Wave, which is on Comedy Central's Roast Battle. We had Rain Dove and Corey Wade on, who were famous models. We had Riley Breckenridge from Thrice. Just a lot of good episodes. So please go back. If you do like the show, go back and listen to some of the episodes and leave us a review on iTunes and all that fun stuff. Follow us on BS Comedy on Twitter, at Verbal Shenanigans on Instagram. And just give us, send us a message. Say you listen to the show. That's it for me. Life is funny, baby. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. and Kill the Clowns.
There's enough miracles here to blow your brains. I fed a fish to a pelican at Frisco Bay and tried to eat myself.
That's a miracle.
He ran away. And music is magic, pure and clean. You can feel it and hear it, but it can't be seen. It can't be seen. Music is all magic. You can't even hold it.
Do you notice and recognize miracles?
It's just there in the air.
Are you a believer in miracles?
Pure motherfucking magic, right?
All right.